Welcome back, everybody. My next guest tonight is a brilliant physician, geneticist, and Presidential Medal of Freedom recipient who served as the director of the National Institutes of Health for 12 years. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Dr. Francis Collins.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. Why am I playing that? I'm playing that because we are in the middle of discussing Megan Basham's new book, Shepherds for Sale, meaning Christians who have been co-opted by the left, the hard left, the atheist left, the George Soros Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, in order to influence Christians to sort of alter their views on standard biblical principles. And it's been very, very effective, whether it's abortion, homosexuality. They used Christians like Francis Collins and others to encourage Christians to take the vaccine, to close their churches when that was not biblical either. It's a subtle but very important part of what's happening in the church. It's one of the reasons why the church has moved to the left or lost its passion on some moral issues. And we're going to continue our discussion with Megan today in part two. But first, you know, this is Sandy Rios. Well, yes, it is, on Sandy Rios 24/7. And you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. And very soon we're going to be doing an email phone call show. And so I'll be, you know, using as many of them as I can. So if you have something to say, write us at sandy@afr.net or leave us a voicemail message at 662-821-2040. You can find us on all the social media platforms. Twitter, I think, is the best one right now. My Twitter handle is @SandyRiosTweet, if you'd like to follow me on that and find out what I'm posting, kind of drawing to your attention. Telegram, we're there also. YouTube, Truth Social. You can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform, whichever one you like. Our platform, our main platform, is AFR.net. That's home base for us. But you can also listen to any podcast platform. Plus, you can go to sandyrios.com. That's my website, and you can listen on it whenever you are ready and want to listen. That's the nice thing about podcasts. You can just listen whenever you are ready. Right now, our voices are crucial in the struggle against globalism and the fight for life, faith, family, and freedom. We are fighting the Prince of Darkness as he seeks to destroy our children and our very souls. And make no mistake, the attack starts at conception. Preborn's network of clinics continues to shine bright light in the darkest corners of our country, where abortions take place thousands of times a day. If we can defend the defenseless and then share God's love and compassion with them, we will see the transformation of generations to come. One heartbeat at a time and one heart at a time is how Preborn introduces mothers to their precious preborn babies. The ultrasound is the weapon and the heart is the game changer. This combination leads to Preborn saving over 280,000 babies to date. Your donation of $28 will provide one ultrasound and in this critical battle for life. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Well, today we have the delight of talking to Megan Basham again. Megan is a culture reporter for the Daily Wire. She's the author of Beside Every Successful Man, A Woman's Guide to Having It All. She's a frequent contributor to Morning Wire, one of the top 10 news podcasts in the United States, and she has written for The Wall Street Journal, The Telegraph, First Things, National Review, and World Magazine, where she worked as a film and television editor. But her new book is called Shepherds for Sale, How Evangelical Leaders Traded the Truth for a Leftist Agenda. You'll hear it all on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something. We're talking with Megan Bashan, who has just written a book called Shepherds for Sale, How Evangelical Leaders Traded the Truth for a Leftist Agenda. All right, so Megan, one other, you know, I think we can relate to what you said about the COVID confusion, the confusion on immigration, but on pro-life, well, I believe that's shifted too, for sure, because I talk about this every day on my show because Preborn is a sponsor of the show. So, and because I've been following this issue since 1973 when I was in Berlin, Germany. Yeah, it's a big issue to me. But how have they worked through people in the evangelical community to change our minds about abortion? I can't really put my finger on that. So what does that look like?
So essentially what you've seen is a diluting of what the term pro-life means. So we understand it, and it has historically been understood to mean protecting the unborn, the preborn, from abortion, from murder. Instead, what they have now done is say, okay, yes, we are pro-life, but we're pro-life from womb to tomb. And they may mean something legitimate by that, like we're also against euthanasia, which I think is consistent absolutely with a pro-life ethic. But they can also mean some things that are far muddier, not clearer, and much more political and less biblically delineated when we look at something like the cause of life, whether through euthanasia or abortion. And they may say, well, actually, by that we mean climate change, because climate damages certain villages. A third world village will be more impacted by a hurricane than a wealthy American community, and therefore to be pro-life, now you have to promote climate change policies. And you saw the National Association of Evangelicals do that just last year. They put out a report claiming that to be pro-life means that you need to embrace climate change policy. And the same thing with immigration. You saw Russell Moore do that. He drew a moral parallel between if you want to be pro-life, you now have to agree with these more progressive immigration policies. And you even saw it during COVID. You saw a lot of people arguing that a lot of well-known pastors and evangelical leaders saying that to be pro-life now means that you have to agree to shut down your churches and you have to agree to promote vaccine mandates to your congregation, and that they have to submit to government authority on these matters. So it became something very different than just protecting life, whether at the beginning when we are born or at the end when we're sick and aged. So that was really what I have seen that do. And so you have seen a lot of people say, well, you know, in these terms, we can still be pro-life and vote for people and leaders who are promising that they're going to protect abortion and promote euthanasia because, well, they're also promising to address climate change and to have more liberal immigration policies.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, one other little twist on that is I think in the Catholic Church, for sure, there's been the twisting of that pro-life also includes the death penalty, that we're pro-life in every way. So therefore, you can't take the life of collectively of someone who's killed someone else, which is not biblical. So that has been muddied, certainly, in the Catholic Church. I want to jump down to, I believe that one of the biggest ways they have influenced the church, from my perspective, is on the LGBTQ issue. And I mentioned, you know, Jim Wallace earlier, Pastor Jim Wallace, going to Wheaton College. I saw that happen, and I see where they are now. It was very effective. Mm-hmm. So we see colleges and universities, we see organizations like what used to be Campus Crusade for Christ, CRU, Salvation Army, changing their policies to allow, you know, not the biblical view of homosexuality. So how did we get to this point, Megan? I mentioned Jim Wallace, but I know there's a lot more to it.
There is, and that was probably one of the longest chapters in my book, and I can tell you, Sandy, I just took off a tiny slice of what's been happening because there's been so much infiltration, so many wolves coming into the church on this subject that I could really only take a little snapshot and say, you now need to extrapolate this out all over the evangelical church and Catholic churches and all Christian churches in the U.S., to understand how we are being targeted on this issue. So the example that I gave is the largest LGBTQ secular foundation in the country, and it's called the Arcus Foundation. And, you know, starting way back in 2020, they really, or excuse me, in 2000, they made a commitment to say, we are, and they said it explicitly, we are going to transform doctrine, even in the most conservative churches, to get them to embrace LGBTQ practice and identities. So they did that, and, you know, they had a big boost in 2015 with Obergefell, and they started funneling money into all of these denominations. One of the examples I give is the United Methodist Church, which, of course, just went through a schism on the question of homosexuality and gay ordination. So we can see how that money has been productive. They spent millions in the United Methodist Church, and they've also been funneling money into evangelical groups. And one of those groups, and again, this is just an example, is called the Reformation Project. And so it was founded by a Harvard dropout, a gay speaker who grew up in a Christian home and said, well, actually, we've had doctrine wrong all this time. Paul didn't mean to condemn all gay relationships, that if you're in a loving, committed gay relationship, that's not sin. So this is a kind of really wicked doctrine and heresy that they're bringing into the church, the kind that condemns people to hell. So they're bringing this in, and they're not just teaching it in their own seminars. They're also conducting secret seminars called Pastors in Process, and its purpose, as they state, is to teach pastors who are secretly LGBTQ-affirming, to use their language, to carefully and over time, incrementally, move their Bible-believing congregations toward LGBTQ acceptance. And these groups have managed to get into places like Andy Stanley's church in Georgia, North Point, which of course sees around 38,000 attendees every week. And if you've been paying attention, you've seen how Andy Stanley has begun to change his language on this issue to make himself much more open to LGBTQ relationships and identities. He has a program called Embracing the Journey that is explicitly LGBTQ affirming, and the people who wrote that go to his church. He helps support their ministry. I hate to use the term ministry, but that's what they call it. He helps financially support their ministry. They have also established chapters at Saddleback, and I reached out to Saddleback in, when I was doing a report on it for Daily Wire and when I was working on the book, saying, hey, you have an LGBTQ-affirming counseling pastor on your staff who is partnering with this Reformation Project, this left-wing-funded LGBTQ group that's trying to change Christian doctrine. He's participating in their conferences, and you have two, at least two that I know of, different chapters of this ministry, this Embracing the Journey ministry going on at your church, and it is LGBTQ affirming. And they did not answer me. Rick Warren did not answer me. They took the information about the group off the website. I have heard, I've not been able to confirm, that it is still operating. It's just not operating publicly anymore. So this is how this kind of thing is worming its tentacles deep into well-known and trusted evangelical churches.
You know, Rick was so popular when he came out, and I with his books, his I forgot the name of those books, a series of books on
purpose-driven life.
Yeah, there you go, purpose-driven life. But there was always something about it that was off to me. I have to tell you, I don't know if I've got these extra tentacles, but I was with Rick at a meeting in D.C. among Senate staffers. It was a closed door meeting, and he said something that was so apostate, I almost dropped my, you know, I almost lost the teeth that I that are firmly fixed in my mouth. But I know he's an apostate. He is an apostate. And so I'm glad that you're calling him out, Megan. I want to also say, you know, Russell Moore introduced another twist on this LGBTQ thing that I have several ex-gay friends, and they're the ones that pointed this out to me. He was pushing this whole notion that it's okay to be LGBTQ as long as you don't act on it. Just don't act on it. And so my ex-gay friends say, are you kidding me? The problem is this is sin. And you are
right.
consigning gay people, whatever, lesbian gay people, to a life of a loveless life because you don't tell them that God can change them profoundly so that they can know the full experience of sexuality in God's design. So that's it's very damaging. He said you just create people that feel hopeless because there's no issue of sin and repentance. So I think that's another way the apostasy spreads. Now,
yes, and I just want to say, I know those people too, and they are, what you see them doing when they say that well, you can't, one, they're accepting an unbiblical definition of personhood, saying that this is my identity, my current
right.
sexual attraction is my identity, and they're denying that God can transform our desires and our hearts. And I know people who have been transformed, so, you know, I could not reject that more strongly and say that, yes, they are limiting what God can do in our lives, and, you know, they need to be held to account for that.
All right, now, I mentioned that Russell Moore is now the editor of Christianity Today, and you talk about Christian media, so where else should our tentacles be up, our antenna be up, in terms of Christian media?
Yes, and I did a whole chapter on Christian media, and part of the reason is because even if your average person in the pews isn't reading Christianity Today anymore, maybe they don't really even know what the Gospel Coalition is, their pastors are reading them. The people who are leading these ministries are reading them and publishing in them. So what these publications do to shape Christian discourse really matters. And part of what I wanted people to understand is when you hear Christianity Today and you think Billy Graham or you think what Christianity Today was maybe 20 or 30 years ago, you have a really wrong picture of what they are today. And one way I illustrate that is I went in and looked at all their political donations. You would know this, Sandy, your editorial staff shouldn't be making political donations at all if they're journalists, because that's an ethical violation. But what I found is that a lot of Christianity Today's staff were. And when I looked at all of their political donations from 2015 to the present, I found they had made about 75 political donations on their staff. Every single one except one, which was the person who works with donors, went to Democrats. And it went to hard left Democrats, people like Elizabeth
wow.
Warren, who has wow. promised to shut down crisis pregnancy centers all over the country. Their news editor, a man named Daniel Silliman, has been making political donations to Elizabeth Warren to help her become president. So that's just to give you an understanding of where Christianity Today is right now. So when you see them not really taking an interest in the fight, for example, at the state level to prevent that gender indoctrination from coming into schools and warping the minds of children, I think part of the reason they don't cover that, while they do cover, say, gun control or climate change, is because their political commitments are with the left. Their staff's political commitments are with the left. And I want to be clear that it wasn't just low-ranking people at Christianity Today. This goes all the way up to their CEO, Timothy Dalrymple, has been making donations to Democrats. And then you look at where Christianity Today is getting its funding, and you realize, oh, they're getting millions of dollars from the Lilly Endowment, which is the foundation started by the Eli Lilly Pharmaceutical Company. And so they don't have to be sensitive or beholden to their natural constituency, their readers, their Christian readership. Instead, they're getting their funding from these secular organizations, and therefore you start to understand, well, that's why they can try to shift evangelical opinion without worrying about losing their subscriber base.
Well, Megan, there's a lot, you talk about a lot more things in your book. You talk about, one of the things I'm going to repeat this, Russell Moore, one of the reasons I was tracking him, and it always ended up being a Democratic policy. Those were the things that he was pushing in the Southern Baptist Convention, like women's rights, which we could talk about, but a twisting of women's rights, so-called rights and the Me Too movement. Just that became very important to him, a woman's role in the church and trying to change the trajectory of the Southern Baptist understanding of that. So it always follows the political for the left. The left, and you just made that point. But you talk also about the critical race, and we could talk about that more, but maybe people just need to read your book, because the book is called Shepherds for Sale, How Evangelical Leaders Traded the Truth for a Leftist Agenda. Is there anything more besides reading this? And I highly recommend this to all of you, not just church leaders, to all of us, so we can just become aware. I think that's the best tool. But Megan, are there other things people should do, practically speaking, to raise their awareness or to fight back on this?
Well, you know, one of the things I really wanted to clarify at both the beginning and the end of my book, and I give my personal testimony in it for this reason, is that I want people to understand that there has been a cottage industry of left-wing books in the last few years attempting to tear down the church, part of this deconstruction movement. And I wanted to be crystal clear that that is not what I am about, and that is not what this book is about. This book is about someone who was just really pulled up out of the mire of sin as a young woman in my early 20s. And I'm so grateful for the church. I'm so grateful for faithful shepherds and pastors and ministry leaders. So what I am trying to do is protect and help arm pastors, help arm people in the pews to say, here's how we contend for Christ's bride, not how we try to tear her down. And so part of what I really want to encourage people to do is say, look, if you see some of this stuff in your church, don't assume, oh, my pastor is a bad guy or my pastor, you know, have conversations first. You know, ask your pastoral staff to coffee. Say, hey, I have concerns. Do you know where this is coming from? So don't just immediately blow people up. Start conversations to understand what's going on. Now, it may be that, yes, your church has really deliberately welcomed in some unbiblical doctrine, and then you have to start looking elsewhere because you can't continue to give your time, money, and resources to people who are bringing in false doctrine, who are bringing in wolves. But don't assume immediately that's what's going on, because I think part of this for all of us has been an education process of just how far we've gotten down the road because we didn't want to have these tough conversations. And look, we see in Scripture between Paul and Peter that sometimes tough conversations need to be had between brothers. So let's start there, and let's understand that what we're trying to do is not tear down the church. We're just trying to police the boundaries.
I love that distinction, Megan, and it's an important one because others are doing that, that's for sure. And I think it's just a matter of you have to speak up. We are to call each other out on deep moral issues, not on the color of the carpet or the kind of music we sing or the governance of the church, not that, but on these deep things. Yes, get angry and call things out and sin not, the Bible says, I believe. We have to figure that part out. But Megan, this is a powerful book, and you've done a great job. And I just want to recommend, again, Shepherds for Sale, How Evangelical Leaders Traded the Truth for a Leftist Agenda. Megan, thanks for joining us today, and God bless you, and we'll look forward to whatever God lays on your heart to write about next. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me, Sandy. Appreciate you and your ministry.
All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Christmas time, and that's when we're buying presents. But, you know, this is a good time to think about maybe giving a larger gift to preborn if you can, if it's possible. A leadership gift would be a tax-deductible donation of $5,000, and it will sponsor preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. If you have that kind of resource and can help, if you have $5,000 that you could give, that would just go, of course, save a lot more babies. And it would be a wonderful way to celebrate Christmas, I think. Just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from The Morning Show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes that we have decided to re-engage with the daily news on Sandy Rios 24/7, as we once did in the mornings. I want to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. Just go to AFR.net or any podcast platform. You can also find Sandy Rios 24/7 at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, a fun thing. My book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now on Audible. Sometimes listening is better than reading. I recorded it in my own voice, which makes it even more personal for all of you who know me so well. Audible books are available on Amazon.com. God bless each and every one of you for your faithfulness to Him. My prayer is that as we stand together in this battle, we can finish well.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
What I'm trying to do in terms of this project is not to walk away from. I actually believe the theology here, which is one of the reasons, with the primary reason why I'm so concerned about it, because I really am a biblical inerrantist, exclusivity of Christ, heaven and hell sort of a person, and I don't have any interest in mainline Protestant liberalization or emerging church, whatever that we had in the last generation. And those are the people that I'm speaking to. I'm speaking to the people who really do believe in Jesus. They have a very high view of the Bible. And a lot of them are coming to the point where they're saying, well, I have to choose between Jesus, who's wrapped up with all of this stuff that all goes together, or nothing, sort of, or liberalizing out into Episcopalians. And I'm wanting to say, no, you don't. You don't have to choose those two directions. Instead, there's a way to be faithful to Christ.
All right, that's the voice of Russell Moore, the former head of the ERLC of the Southern Baptist Convention. I've talked about him a lot in these the first and the second segment with Megan Basham. And what he's talking about there, he's saying, this is the subtle thing. In an earlier clip in that same conversation, he's talking about Christians and Christian nationalism and misogyny, that's what he's calling out. Also, I've told you earlier in this conversation about how he persuaded, he really bent the curve on the understanding of LGBTQ among young pastors. There are a lot of other things he did too, whether it's, you know, it's the whole notion of Israel and its relationship to the church. He did a lot of damage. And the clip that I just played just now, I think, illustrates how subtle it is. No. I believe I'm an evangelical. I believe in the uniqueness of Christ. I believe he's the only way. And I believe all these things. No, I'm not going to move to the left of the emerging church. No. My audience is people who really take the Bible seriously. Yes, his audience is exactly that. And that's why he's so good at twisting it. And so I just wanted to give you kind of an illustration of that in a very small way. You know, Megan was talking about one thing we did not get into with her was, you know, during the election last year, the after party. It's a program led by Duke Divinity Consulting professor Curtis Chang and developed with New York Times columnist David French. And by the way, David French is another one of those apostates. He just is. He's known to be this strong evangelical, but maybe not known for that so much anymore. I think people have figured him out quite a bit. But he's part of this curriculum. And then also along with Russell Moore of Christianity Today, who's now the editor-in-chief. So the program offers pastors and small groups a curriculum, quote, reframing Christian political identity from today's divisive partisan options. So there's no details about the funding, but Megan found through just a little bit of sleuthing that the Rockefeller Philanthropy Advisors announced that the after party, and again, that's the curriculum, would be one of the 32 beneficiaries of their new Pluralist Project, which is investing $10 million to address divisive forces. And they use this after party, guess where? In Ohio, which was a huge swing state. I'm sure they use it other places too. And I just want to give you an idea. We haven't talked really about Curtis Chang. He's, again, the Duke Divinity Consulting Professor. And this is what he has done. As a pro-life Democrat, Curtis Chang blamed the American church for the January 6th riot, saying, own what happened, we own what happened at the Capitol. He urged California voters to oppose the recall of Governor Gavin Newsom, and he leveraged his Christian platform to argue against religious exemptions from vaccine mandates, running the website Christians and the Vaccine, and distributing videos that describe the jab as a redemption of aborted cell lines, all while acting as a paid consultant for federal health agencies. French, David French, and Russell Moore have been no less outspoken on political matters. And that's from an article Megan did for First Things. So I just wanted to give you just more information. The book really is something that I think all of us need to read. And I want to, and again, it's Shepherds for Sale. And I also want to tell you about one other thing. There is a counter. I just touched on the decline of the National Association of Evangelicals. You cannot trust them anymore. You really haven't been able to trust them for the last 20 years, 25 years maybe. So just don't. Just trust me not to trust them. But there is an alternative to it. It's the American Association of Evangelicals, AAE, the American Association of Evangelicals. I'm actually one of the founding members. And Eric Metaxas, Megan is part of it, Franklin Graham, Alveda King, Jim Garlow, George Barna. And so I think you'll be in good shape if you go to that and join it and look at what they have to say, because they're addressing the issues of the day from a truly biblical perspective, and that will help you have a resource. It's, again, American Association of Evangelicals, AAE. All right, well, I hope that you enjoyed this, and I hope you were challenged by it, and that it's helpful to you as you try to navigate this really confusing world that we're living in, where people are intentionally trying to confuse us, taking money from the left to try to confuse believers in Christ. Don't let them do it. The book is called Shepherds for Sale, written by Megan Basham, so you can get it anywhere books are sold. Well, you know that you can call me if you have a comment about today at 662-821-2040. You can write me at sandy@afr.net. We'll be using those comments in an upcoming show here. You can listen to us on any podcast platform. AFR.net is our home base. You can also go to sandyrios.com and listen there. That's pretty simple to do. You also can get on our mailing list for sandyrios.com. In closing, I want to thank our sponsors, especially Timothy Plan. You put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/sandy. That's timothyplan.com/sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.